Welcome to God's Love Language, a podcast designed for Christian discipleship, with emphasis on developing our relationship and fellowship with God. Now, here is our host, Joe Enloe.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate that.
And we're glad you are here, and greetings. Welcome back to God's Love Language with Joe Enloe. We are recording from Faith Vision Studios in downtown Texas. We're glad you have joined us today. Last month in episode 48, we began a series on loneliness and meaning. In that episode, we began with the definition of loneliness, causes, and health risks. Today, we'll discuss meaningfulness. And then next month, we will bring them both together and summarize how to cope with loneliness and find meaning as a Christian disciple. Now, remember this. As a disciple of Christ and a child of God, do you understand that you were created for a purpose, that there is a meaning for your creation? If so, do you pursue these things or the things in this life that will help you accomplish that meaning and purpose? Things like getting to know your Creator in a deeper level of fellowship, intimacy, learning all you can about your gifts and calling and making God the center of your very being, not just making Him fit into your busy life. If not, let us begin by helping you define meaning and then help you understand your meaning in God's plan. Now, we're going to begin with a secular view and definition of meaning as a noun. Now, a dictionary definition goes something like this. What is intended to be or actually is expressed or indicated, signification, the end, the purpose or significance of something, as in, what is the meaning of life? That's kind of what your standard dictionary says. Now, staying up with the times, I asked an AI program this question, what is the meaning of life? And then he gave us a fairly accurate answer, and here's what I got. AI said, the meaning of life is a deeply philosophical question that has puzzled humans for centuries. The answer to this question varies depending on individual beliefs, values, and perspectives. Some people find meaning in personal relationships, others in helping others, pursuing passions, spiritual beliefs, or making a positive impact on the world. Ultimately, the meaning of life is a personal and subjective concept that each person may interpret differently. Well, good job, AI. It is right in its interpretation of the question, but it still did not answer it for humans as a whole. With this interpretation, meaning can be whatever you decide it to be. As it said, the answer to this question varies depending on individual beliefs, values, and perspectives, and each person will believe they are right. Look at today's society. People want to believe they are right in spite of solid scientific evidence to the contrary on some subjects. Remember what kind of belief we had? We called this in our episodes on belief? Yes, we called that type of belief where you have evidence to the contrary. We called it pathological belief, meaning believing in something despite evidence to the contrary. The meaning they chose or they choose to live by will dictate what they want from the rest of the world. This is bad if it causes people to suffer physical or mental pain trying to live in a world where meaning is contrary to the truth. Is the answer really subjective? Is there a concrete, unambiguous answer to the meaning of life here on earth? Now, as a Christian, what sets us apart from non-Christians is the fact that we believe we have a creator of the universe and everything in it, including humans. We also believe everything was created for our creator's pleasure and glory. You find that in Revelations 4:11, Philippians 2:13, Ephesians 1:5. This includes the spiritual and heavenly realms, with the precision and intricacy involved in everything that has been made. The sciences are proving beyond a doubt that there had to be a creator, a designer. It now takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe there is a divine creator. Just the intricacy of the human cell with its motors and mechanisms is enough to tilt the scales to believing in a creator. The more you study the sciences and the Word of God, the more one will realize that everything was designed by someone greater than us, someone that is omniscient and loving. G.W. Bromley, in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the Revised Edition, said this about a creator and purpose. This leads us to further biblical truth that the Creator has a purpose. He does not create out of any outer necessity. He is not himself a blind process. There is no eternal creating coextensive with the life of the Creator. God is free and sovereign. He resolves to create. And you see that in Genesis 1, 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, and 26, where God created the beginning. Nor does he do so as an act of mere caprice. Creation itself gives evidence of planning. Look at Genesis 1. Man is given a task in relation to creation, Genesis 1, 26. God wills a free response of obedience to his own will, Matthew 6, 10. And he has created all things unto Christ, Colossians 1, 16. Creation moves toward a consummation of all things when all things will be subject to the Son, the second man, and the Son himself will be subject to the Father, that God may be in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. God has created all things for his own pleasure, Revelations 4:11, not in the sense of selfish gratification, but in the sense of purposeful and meaningful activity. Even the fall cannot arrest the divine purpose. God brings it to fulfillment in the new creation in Christ. Christians already belong to this new creation. They are a new creation by the Word. That can be found in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Galatians 6:15, end quote. Now, a Christian's definition of meaning should be based on the God-centered worldview of everything. God created all from nothing except himself and his love. Remember from earlier episodes, I said that the greatest attribute or definition of God is the fact that he is love. He is love. He is the epitome of love, love personified. He is where all love comes from. Without him, there is no such thing as love. Do you get what I'm saying? And love isn't love unless it is given away. God desired to give love himself away so that love, or God, could be magnified and glorified. Think about it. What is the best thing about being a Christian? I can name a few. First and foremost is being loved by a God that has created a way for us to be loved in spite of our sinful nature, in spite of any amount of evil we may have done. Second, to be loved by family. Third, to be loved by friends. Fourth, to give love away through numerous methods such as emotional support, gifts, helps, teaching, etc. Sixth, to have the free choice, our will, to accept God's love, the love of others, and to give love in return. Remember, love can be an emotion, but it is more than that. Love is an action also, a behavior. The emotion can die out, but godly love never does. As you become more like Jesus, you become more like love. It is an attribute, an identifiable personality characteristic like God. You love. Your love should not be conditional. It should be exhibited to all because it is who you are, like God. We love like God. It is better to give than to receive, and nothing makes that truer than the concept of love. But we can't truly give love away until we accept it. Any other way than first receiving it from God, and you will end up frustrated by someone's lack of gratitude. Love is given unconditionally once you understand how to love like God. The love that God has is agape love. It is the purest form of love. All other is either a counterfeit or pseudo-love. Don't misunderstand me. God's offer of love is free, but his redeeming love is conditional. You must first receive salvation. But because God allows you to make the choice, it is an act of your will. God will not force it upon you. Then you must be obedient to his word as taught by Jesus and the apostles. Let's look at what John has to say about love and its connection to God. Look at 1 John 4:8. It says there, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now look at 1 John 4:16 through 5:3. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, that last line is where we get God's love language from, which we say is obedience. Obedience to his commandments. Now, with all the above being considered, our search for meaning can be understood. God loved you before you were conceived. He chose you to help make a difference in a fallen world. He has a purpose for your creation. He could have done it all of himself, but because of love, he wanted us to have a part of it also. You must look to him for that purpose, and then you will find that specific meaning. All Christians have a general meaning in life to learn about and believe in Jesus so that we can turn control over to God, control of ourselves. We learn to trust in him in order to become sanctified. In other words, to change our spirit, soul, and body to conform to the likeness of Jesus. We take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. We are imagers of God, and we turn our will over to take on God's will as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, Jesus' whole mission on earth was to do the will of the Father, which was to ultimately provide a way of justification through salvation, the atoning death of a sinless Jesus. So, a Christian's meaning of life definition should be similar to this. As a Christian and disciple of Jesus, we believe that the meaning of life is to love and to serve God like Jesus did. He set the example. To get there, we are to follow the teachings of Jesus and the disciples and to spread the message of his love and salvation to others. This includes living a life of faith that will lead to virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and ultimately love. Now, we find that in 2 Peter 1, but I'll talk about that more in a minute. We are to daily demonstrate mercy, grace, and love as we know it. The ultimate goal is to have a personal relationship and fellowship intimacy with God and Jesus through the Holy Spirit and to spend eternity with him in heaven or back here on earth, like it says will happen in Revelation. So before we close this episode, I'm going to try to help you develop a visual picture of the above attributes that will help you learn to be more like Jesus, to help you gain and understand the meaning of life as a believer in Christ so that you can accomplish your mission. This is more than just a list. As you climb each level of this pyramid, I'm talking about a pyramid, your fellowship intimacy with Jesus and the Father will deepen. I actually think a volcano more accurately depicts the Christian life with these attributes because you will be, as you climb up this pyramid or this volcano, you will start to spew or give these attributes to others. We will be like God in the sense that we feel the need to share in the goodness and life each brings, and we will not be able to keep it to ourselves. Thus, it becomes like a volcano coming in. And I do believe these were put in a specific order by the Holy Spirit. Each level is dependent upon the preceding level in order to have the most success at that level. I also believe that you may fluctuate or run up and down the levels as you face new and exciting periods of growth as a Christian. And each time you do, you get stronger. You may stumble sometimes, but a quick confession will help you get back up and growing again. No one is perfect, but God will know your heart. First, before I describe the pyramid, of the volcano, the heart of the volcano, I will show you where we get these attributes. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Peter is speaking to believers. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, which is virtue, and in your moral excellence or virtue, add knowledge, and in your knowledge, add self-control, and in your self-control, learn perseverance, and in your perseverance, learn godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. What a promise. You will never stumble if you seek these things. That's why our meaning in life has to be focused on God's purpose for us. Now, picture, if you will, Maslow's motivation pyramid model, or as most of us remember it, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You can look that up on the internet. It will show you a pyramid with different levels or strata, with each being a different color. Now, I have used the same type of pyramid and you with eight different levels of strata. I call it the faith to love pyramid. I've actually posted this on God's Love Language with Joe Enloe Facebook site. Check it out there. The bottom level of our pyramid is its base or foundation, and that is the first thing it talked about, faith. You must have faith. Faith. You must have faith in order to be saved and to move into fellowship intimacy with the Trinity. You must have faith in order to have a Christian meaning of life. That faith is our foundation as we start talking about this pyramid. The next level after faith is virtue. Now, some versions say that morals are moral excellence. Paul gives a definition of the Greek word Peter used here when he used the same Greek word arete in Philippians 4:8. And it's meaning there, it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. There you have the definition of virtue or moral excellence. These you seek as soon as you come into the faith. Next, we have knowledge. How do we get knowledge? Well, we have to ask for it. Ask God for it. Study God's word. Hang out with like-minded believers and attend classes, because that's the only way you gain knowledge. You can't just ask for it and then not really try to get it. Next, we have self-control. Self-control is difficult for most and extremely difficult for some. Perhaps I will do an episode on self-control later on, but we know it's difficult at times. Next, we have perseverance, a very important one. Without self-control, knowledge, virtue, and a strong faith, perseverance will be so difficult. To borrow from the Clint Eastwood movie, Josie Wales, you endeavor to persevere, meaning you exert yourself to do or effect something. We must constantly endeavor if we are to succeed at becoming like Jesus. We maintain our purpose in spite of difficulty or obstacles. Every day we are intentional at persevering toward our goal. The next level will be godliness. The word says that God wants us to be holy as he is holy. These attributes are godly and the virtues are godly. Building from the bottom up to this point, we should begin to exude godliness. When godliness is reached and shows, then we can move to the next level, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is required of us in John and 1 John 3:16. We must be willing to die for our brothers. This is the second greatest command by Jesus. The first, to love God with all of our heart, spirit, soul, and bodies. It is the greatest command. When we do this, we can accomplish our mission to its fullest by reaching the top of our pyramid. Then we will have a firm grasp of what it is like to truly love as God is love. Godly, agape love is at the top of our pyramid. It will take over our lives and personality characteristics. It will finally make sense when we sing, "They will know we are Christians by our love." And when we feel compelled to return that love and obedience to God and our fellow humans, then we will erupt like a volcano and spew out those attributes, the greatest being love. Well, that completes this episode on meaning. In short, the meaning of life is being as much like Jesus as humanly possible, bringing glory to the Father by accomplishing his plan for us, and to love our brothers and sisters and helping them fulfill their purpose if we can. I will post a copy of my Faith to Love Pyramid on our Facebook site again, God's Love Language with Joe Winlow. Next month, I will bring this series to a close by teaching you how to conquer inappropriate feelings of loneliness by understanding your meaning and purpose in life. Until then, may God bless you and yours, and may his light shine upon you and bring you peace and growth as a disciple. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to today's teaching. If you would like more information about our podcast and subject matter, or if you would like to leave a comment, email Joe at jnlow@godslovelanguage.com.